Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody. It's Joe and Angel here at another Mailbag Monday. Angel, we've got some great questions today. Let's just jump right in.
Hi, everybody. All right, let's see. I have been divorced now for 2 years and 12 years of marriage. I have two children, 9 and 11. Both of them have told me they are totally against me dating or trying to find someone else. I want to remarry, but they are both at really vulnerable ages. Should I be waiting until they're a little older? I'm not sure if they will ever be on board with me remarrying.
Well, Angel, I'll let you, you've lived this kind of firsthand, so I'll let you jump in and just give your opinion on this.
Well, I think if you've listened to the podcast, you know that I think it's better to wait.
Yes.
I remember when my ex-husband came just a year and a half after we'd been divorced to tell my 14-year-old son and then 10-year-old daughter that he was going to remarry, and he wanted them to both attend the wedding. And I remember my son, who's not, I mean, he will confront if he's backed against the wall, but he's not, he's pretty easygoing.
Yeah.
And I remember him saying to his dad, "We will not attend the wedding, and this is too soon." And he did push through and marry her, and it was never a good situation
for anybody.
No, for that. And he, I mean, eventually that marriage broke apart as well. But the thing is you have to take the kids into consideration.
Yes.
I mean, there's so many things. Also, you know, one time I have a friend, and this was maybe taking it to an extreme, but she said that her job was when children had been abused, she would coordinate with the police department. She would go in and help the children.
Yes.
And she said 99% of the time it was the boyfriend.
Yep.
So she said, you're very wise to wait because you don't want to put your children in that kind of a vulnerable situation. There's so many variables. You're lonely. You're freaking out. Your finances have changed. You're insecure, you've been rejected. So there's a lot of reasons that you want to have the stability of a marriage. But it does come at a cost. Now, is this across the board everywhere? Not every time you remarry is it bad. Sometimes stepfather and mother can be better than the birth.
Yeah, yeah. Sure,
so,
yeah.
So you have to take all of that into account. I would say if you're going to take that step and your children feel that strongly about it, I would take a very slow journey.
Yeah, because I don't care how much you get excited, because you know, we both have big families and we've seen a lot. And so you think, well, I'm lonely. I like to get remarried. It's, yeah, but you're grabbing the first lifesaver that comes floating down the water to you, and you grab that thing. You think, man, I feel better now. Yeah, but the others that are hanging that life preserver with, it's like it's going to get tough. And for all the good things going to happen when you get remarried, the hell's twice as worse if the kids aren't on board with you. And they'll stay that way for a long, long time. It's just it's tough.
I was just going to say that another thing is it's hard to process as an adult divorce. It was hard for me to process my emotions. So can you imagine going through puberty, feeling the rejection of a parent, and trying to process that too in your world, everything that you felt secure, you know, has been blown to smithereens. So you know what love does? According to the Bible, love doesn't think of yourself.
Yep.
It thinks of the other. So as a parent, of course, even for you to ask this question, you're concerned about your kids and their feelings. So I would say follow peace and listen to your kids. Their point of view has value, and they may have some wisdom seeing it from that perspective. I would say probably I would suggest counseling, because me and my kids, we did counseling. And I'll tell you a story. One time, my daughter was really struggling, and I said, let's make an appointment for the counselor. And I actually knew the counselor. I had known him for years. And we go in and sit down. She wanted me to go in for the first meeting. And the counselor said, well, what are we here for today? And I burst into tears. My daughter looked at me like, okay, I thought this was for me. And I go, well, evidently I still have issues. Needless to say, I wasn't invited to the next counseling session.
Well, you got to put your faith in God. You got to understand something. Mm-hmm. Your children are not going to be with you forever. There's right. a time limit on them. And you know, most kids leave home at 18, at least by 22 when they're out of college. There's a time limit on this thing with your children. You're going to be a mom or a dad forever, but you're not going to be a parent forever.
Right.
They're going to become an adult pretty soon. And then you're free to do what you need to do. Hey, your kids are up. Your kids are out. And I love you, but this isn't a democracy. We're not taking a vote. But I'm going to live my life for you. I'm a parent. I don't care what my spouse did. I'm going to be a good parent. I'm going to take care of you. I don't want you to be worried or afraid or concerned. I want you to have as much peace as we can possibly get right now. And so eventually they'll grow up and they'll leave home. And then you're free to date, get married, or whatever you think God's leading you to do.
Yeah, it's so good. I agree. All right, Joe. How do my husband and I meet in the middle when one of us is a spender and the other is a saver?
There is no middle. You're past each other on the interstate going really fast in opposite directions. The greatest thing you'll ever do is get a budget. It is the holiest word in the Bible, financially. A budget, you know, how much do you owe, how much do you own, where's it going, what are we spending? And so it doesn't matter what your emotions are. It's like when you have an eight, I used to say every answer to this can be on 8.5-11 piece of paper. Here's how much money we make. Here's how much we're spending. We have a problem. The tub's leaking. Somebody's pulling the plug. It's sinking. And so it takes the emotion out of it. Well, I'm sorry, you can't spend that. We don't have it.
Mm.
And you do that, they're going to come take our car, take our house, take us to jail. And if we owe enough people, it's like you can't do that. It's just logic. Even unbelievers have a good understanding. I cannot spend more than I'm bringing in. And so one of the financial simulations that we do that's real popular said, if you get real sober, like, what are you going to have to do? We're going to have to downsize and unload and get rid of some stuff and just – We got to streamline our lifestyle until we can get back on our feet and make more money.
Mm-hmm.
And so the greatest thing you'll do when you're a married couple and you think everything's wonderful, we're sucking lips off each other's face, but we think differently about money, you need to sit down, at least get somebody, a third party if you have to, and you just sit down with one piece of paper, not more than one. Here's how much money it takes for us to live as a family right now. Here's how much we're bringing in.
Yeah.
We're a sinking ship. I don't care what you feel about it. I don't care what you think. Well, I want it. I think I deserve it. I don't care what you think. You don't have it. It's not there.
Mm-hmm.
You're wishing and you're shooting holes in your own boat. And so you got to get as logical as you can with one another. Hey, I'm a saver. You're a spender, but hey, we got to meet in the middle somewhere. We can't spend what we don't have. Now, if you'd like to start believing God to make more or take extra jobs or get several raises, you know, or something, let's put our faith towards something that can change the situation, not fight over something that can't change. So the greatest thing I've told couples you'll ever do, I've had them sit in my office before, and to the best of their memory, how much does it take for you to live every month? How much your house payment, your car payment, your rent, and your utilities, and your light bill, and your water bill? You know, how many credit cards do you have? How much on the? And I can make them sit down in front of me in less than an hour and pretty much put a number down and said, guys, you're going belly up. The boat is sinking. You got holes in your boat. Now, I don't care what you feel about it. Pretty soon you're going to be bubbling for air. Because it's going to happen, so it doesn't matter what you feel. Then, when you're drowning, it doesn't matter what you feel, or how many degrees you have, or what your job is. When you're drowning, you're drowning, and you got to stop the drowning. So get a budget, and that'll help sort of bring two people together. You won't be happy necessarily, but you will be in agreement. Okay, I didn't know we owed that much. I didn't know we owed that. Well, yeah, it's on the piece of paper, and just stick to one piece of paper, and that'll really start something happening. It really will.
That's good. As a spender of the two of us, I don't have much to say except wah, wah. I'm just kidding.
Listen, God wants you blessed. He wants you to be happy. He wants to prosper us. I mean, I got all the scriptures. When we went through it several times, I mean, twice in my life, I've just burned all the credit cards in the oven, and I'm not going to debt again. But you do have to have certain, you know, to take out a loan for a home or whatever. There's certain things you are going to have to incur debt, but not more than you can pay off.
Yeah.
And so there's just rules. So just get logical, and it'll work. It will work.
Yes. So, what is a good way to help my child find out what they are gifted to do? I don't want to sound like an awful parent, but it isn't real apparent what it would be. That, you know what? I have two kids, and one was clear from the get-go. He was a musician, and he can touch an instrument and play it.
Yes, he can.
He can write music. He was writing music from the time he was 12 years old. My daughter, on the other hand, it wasn't so clear. And so we tried many paths. We tried art, and she was pretty good at it. She could have gone down that lane. It would have taken some work, but, you know, she had a little bit of a natural bend to that. School was a struggle, so it wasn't something that we ever thought would be at the forefront. And it took a little longer. She was a late bloomer and everything. I mean, she's the only kid that I know that was the actual size. Like when it says 6 months, she was 6 months. You know?
Really?
Yeah. And when I used to say to her when she was little, stop growing. You're just so cute. She goes, I'm trying very hard. Well, she literally stopped growing for about a year. And I started freaking out. Like, our words are having powerful impact. She's 4'11 at this point today as a grown adult, married woman. But, but she was a little bit of a later bloomer, and suddenly she got to almost her senior year in high school and found that she had a very big gift for writing.
Mm-hmm.
She also has an anointing for children, and
great with
she
kids.
Started working in the nursery at church and then just blossomed. I remember one time we were just walking past a bunch of kids, and this one kid just broke from the crowd and came over and hugged her. And
oh, it's Santa Claus. It's Santa Claus.
I was like, Nicole, that is your gift. That is your gift. And today she is a teacher and loves it. Just loves it.
Very
loves it. Loves it. And she's just, you know, I would love for her to have her own child so we could all love it like she does.
But, yeah, we're pushing. We're pushing.
Gently, gently. But anyway, so sometimes it isn't as clear. Sometimes you have to kind of go down different paths.
Sometimes the kids, you can tell right off the bat, we're going to be good at this. Or they're going to be good at that. And the Bible says, you know, your gift will make room for you. Every child has a gift. They mm-hmm. may not be in the gifted class, but every child was born with a gift, and that gift will make room for them. It'll make them wealthy. It'll bring forth famous people. It's a God-given thing. Mm-hmm. And so use your gift to serve your fellow man. You're not going to serve your fellow man with something you're not good at. You're going to serve your fellow man with something you are good at.
Right.
So we're trying early to help our kids find out, what do you like doing? So we pushed all of our kids early. You know, you're going to play sports. You're going to be in the choir. You're going to volunteer. You know, we never let kids take study hall. No, you're going to take some class. And they thought, what are you trying to do? Well, I'm trying to get you to find out what you're good at.
Mm-hmm.
You need to find out what you like doing. Because I tell kids, when you grow up, you shouldn't hate going to work. Every day you should love going to work. Work is a four-letter word, but it's not a cuss word.
Mm.
Eventually, my child needs to leave home, you know, get an education or whatever you're going to do, a vocation, a degree, whatever. You ought to love when you go to work. I mean, what are you doing? I'm solving problems. I'm gifted with something. I'm going to solve a problem, whether it's mechanical, an engineer, whether it's medical, where I'm a doctor, I'm a nurse, I'm an accountant, I run a dry cleaning. Whatever I do, I should love doing. I love what I do. And that was the goal. But, you know, when I went to high school, every year they had the Army, the Navy, Marines, and the Air Force come in. That was pretty much your option. And then one year they had an accountant and an electrician come in. And that was our option. We thought, well, there's about 10 decisions in life. No, there's 1,000 different decisions.
Yeah.
And so what you're trying to do is help your kid find out what they're good at. And you got to remember, we got 8 children between us, Angel and I. No 2 children are the same. No 2 children. Why don't you like your father? How come you don't like your mother? Because you're not your father.
Mm-hmm.
You're not your mother. Every human has a different thumbprint, a different voice print. They're born going a different direction. Now, I remember dropping babies like rain right out of heaven. I thought, hospital made a mistake. There's no way that's my kid. There's no way that's my kid. They're nothing like the one they had before. Well, they all come out different, and so they all have different gifts. So our job as a parent is to kind of help them as early as possible find out, what do you like doing? You like making mud pies, you know, you're not singing real loud, you know, and down there in your bedroom, and it's like, if you can't carry a tune in a bucket. We would just kind of push. And so every summer, all of our kids were real busy. People would judge us during those years our kids were at home, you know, said, well, you're too busy. You need to have family time. I said, this is family time. Kids are playing softball, baseball, soccer, hockey. They're playing everything. I said, well, that's just too much. No, it's not. My kids are finding out, number one, they're playing with other kids. They realize that kid can hit a baseball. I can't hit a baseball. That kid can catch real good. I'm struggling with catching. And you find out life goes on. The sun comes up. These are not heaven or hell issues. We're just trying to help you find out, what do you like doing? Well, I really enjoy this. Mm-hmm. And I remember one daughter loved, she didn't play sports. She was on the scores table. She kept all the stats at a college basketball, for a college basketball team. She played basketball in school, but she wasn't any good at it, but she was great with the numbers thing. Well, she's got her doctorate today. She's a college professor. She finally found out, I like this. I like words. I like numbers. Mm-hmm. And so every kid comes out different. Your job is to help them find out. And don't put pressure. You're just trying to expose them a lot of stuff. So I've got guitars and violins and banjos in my closet somewhere to this day. You know, I can start my own five-string instrument band. You know? But what are you trying to do? I'm trying to help them find out what they like. And so, okay, you don't like this, do something else.
Yeah, and it is a journey. I mean, it's a process. It is. And like I said, with my son, it was easy. He started playing the drums when he was three. And his father was a musician, so that helped. But my daughter, it was a little bit more of a journey. You know, your book, Eight Things No Kid Should Leave Home Without, I think every parent should read it. It's a must read.
Yeah, it's great.
I would encourage you to get it. You can order it online, and I would suggest that would help point you in the right direction far as that goes.
Real simple, real easy to understand. Just trying to help. I'm trying to guide you. And I'm not God. I didn't give you your gift. God gave you your gift. I'm just trying to help you find it. And again, some kids blossom before they're out of high school. Some kids don't blossom until they're 35 and 40.
Yeah.
And they're still working. So God's still God. They're still following God. So what do you get at? Well, I got a job. I don't really like it. Well, eventually you can get one you like. Just show up early, stay a little later. Do your job really good. Don't take a long lunch. Be worth something, you know. And those are lessons that you learn going through life. I mean, the prophet of God was doing really good out there in the wilderness. I mean, the birds were dropping food on his head and creeks got good water. Well, one day the birds stopped dropping food and the creek dried up. And he thought, I think God must be moving. Because I got to move. There's no food. There's no water. So he moved into town, and God had somebody else to take care of him, and it went really good. So if things change and they evolve, have your kids to learn to, hey, God's God. He's real good. He's going to order your steps and direct your paths. You're going to be in the right place at the right time. It's just biblical.
Thank you, everybody, for listening today. We so enjoy our Mailbag Mondays with you. I kind of said that word, mailbag.
Mailbag Monday.
It's a tongue twister, Mailbag Monday. I can drag it out like a Southerner, Mailbag Monday.
Well,
that's how my people say it.
That's my mind, too. Mine, too, sir. God bless, guys. We appreciate you listening today. Tune in next week. We love you. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.